Thanks for listening to the Suzy Larson Life podcast, available thanks to support from listeners like you.
Hey everyone, welcome into Suzy Larson Live. I'm Than Bennett. Get to sit in for Suzy today, and I'm so excited to bring you today's conversation. You know, when I get to sit in for Suzy, I honestly feel so blessed to, I think the word I would use is steward, to steward Suzy's effort to bring you conversations every single day that inspire you in your faith walk, that deepen your understanding of God's word, and that heightens your awareness of his very real presence in your life. And that is exactly what today's conversation is going to do. I'm just really confident of that. You know, it is a very rare thing in life when you are able to find a mentor and a friend all wrapped up together in one person. And I would say it's rarer still when that person is a public figure. And it's even rarer when that public figure has a highest priority that is a close walk with Jesus Christ. But that is exactly what my guest today has been and continues to be, by the way, in my life. My guest today on Suzy Larson Live is none other than Jim Ryan. And at one time, he was my boss professionally, although that probably doesn't mean a whole lot to those of you listening, but he was an athletic legend. I mean, a legend prior to that. And if you lived in the right generation, Jim Ryan was the Michael Jordan of that generation. And so I'm going to give you some of those details in just a moment here. And I can't wait for what God is going to say through Jim. But before we jump in, I want to extend two invitations to you, and I really hope that you'll consider accepting both of them. First, I want to invite you to walk with Jesus as he travels to the cross this Easter. We are doing a Holy Week study together here at Faith Radio, and we want you to be in on it. Now, if you're already participating in our larger Lent reading plan, then this is going to automatically be a part of that. But if you're not doing that longer reading plan with us, I really want to encourage you to at least join us for the Holy Week part of it as we lead up to Resurrection Sunday, as we lead up to Easter. All you've got to do to join us is to sign up at myfaithradio.com, and you'll be able to jump in as we walk that final week, walk the path that Jesus walked on Holy Week. So again, that is myfaithradio.com. I hope you'll sign up for that. Next, I want to personally invite you to do something with me. I want you to sign up for the Equipped newsletter. This is a newsletter that I am writing and I am sending out every Wednesday. And our goal with this newsletter is to sort of shift the way that we think about current events and the way that we engage them. We are aiming to not just consume information and consume news, but rather to view everything that happens in our world through the lens of two things, through the lens of the true and through the lens of the beautiful. And so we look for opportunities in the stories to be the hands and feet of Jesus and to serve those around us. So I'd love for you to join us. It's very simple to do. You can just go to theequippednewsletter.com and sign up. There's actually also going to be a link in the show notes after the broadcast today. You can just go there and sign up at myfaithradio.com. If you want to go to the link directly, again, it's theequippednewsletter.com, and I really do think you'll be encouraged by it. I hope you will jump in and join us. Okay, let's get to our guest, Jim Ryan. And folks, this is going to be a really fun one. This is a special one for me. Jim's a personal friend. He's a mentor. He's someone who's meant a lot in my life for a long time now. And so I want to introduce him to you, and we will get him on. This is going to be a little bit of a mix of a professional bio and then also just a personal connection that I have to him. Jim Ryan is many, many things, and I'm going to tell you just a few of those because I want you to be sort of situated to who he is if you don't know him. But I'm actually going to let him unpack a lot of this and explain these details as we go along. But to start with, Jim Ryan is a running legend. On June 23rd, 1967, Jim Ryan was the last American to set the world record in the mile run with a time of 3:51.1. Pretty breathtaking. And it has now been more than 55 years since any American has set that mile world record. All told, I'm going to need to ask Jim about this and confirm if I've got this number right, but I believe he set 6 world records. He was also the first high schooler to ever run the mile in under 4 minutes. He was on the cover of Sports Illustrated 7 times and was Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year in 1967. He was also, get this, he was ESPN's High School Athlete of the Century. And I would say all of those things, that's just a small snapshot. I literally had to pull out just a few of his accolades because the list is much longer than that. And if that weren't enough, Jim also served in the United States Congress for a decade. He is a recipient of the Presidential Medal of Freedom. And he and his wife, Ann, founded the Jim Ryan Running Camps, which they use to encourage athletes in their running and in their walk with Jesus Christ. And I encourage you after the broadcast, you can learn more about those camps by visiting ryanrunning.com. Now, I should tell you, Ryan has a U in it. It's R-Y-U-N running. So ryanrunning.com. Jim and Ann have 4 grown children and 13 grandchildren. And as I bring Jim onto the air, I want to tell you one more thing, kind of from a personal standpoint. All of those accomplishments that I just listed, they're amazing. I think legendary is probably a fair word for them. But I will tell you that they are nowhere near the top of the list of what I appreciate most about this man. As you're about to hear from him, Jim loves Jesus with all his heart. And he does it and has always done it for as long as I have known him from a humble posture, even after all that he's accomplished. And I think most important to me, and this is going to kind of give you a glimpse behind the curtain a little bit. He and his wife, Ann, he love our kids. They love our kids. They love our entire family. And here's the little nugget. Our kids actually call them Papa and Mimi Ryan. So that is one of the coolest things in the world to me. We absolutely love both of them. And you are going to love hearing from Jim today. So, Jim Ryan, welcome to Suzy Larson Live.
Than, it's great to be with you. And I'm going to take a moment of privilege right now and just turn this around a little bit. Those accolades that you shared, those are all gifts from God. And you are one of those gifts as well, because watching you grow, mature over the last 20 years and see how the Lord has put you in a position of importance and you've chosen to use this as a reflection back to what Christ has done in your life. That's an encouragement. I mean, so you could have made a lot of other decisions, but watching you and your family and seeing everything with you and Brooke and the children is just an encouragement. So we're going to share a lot of things today. And again, I wanted to just point out that, you know, you, like everyone else that's listening, have choices to make, and you made some good ones. So God bless you.
It's incredibly kind of you, Jim. And, you know, what did I tell you, everybody, that we've got a world record setter multiple times over on the line, and he reflects that back on me. So incredible, Jim. I appreciate that. I couldn't be happier to have you with us, though. I'm excited to introduce you to Susie's listeners. I don't think you've been on with her before, and they're going to get to hear your amazing story, and I'm eager to do that. But this is one of my favorite things about the way Suzy formats her show. We start every day on this broadcast by getting into God's Word and by anchoring whatever it is we're going to talk about in what He has to say to us. And I know this is something that is important to both Ann and you, which is your time with God. And so what is it that He's been saying to you personally lately? What has God been impressing on Jim Ryan's heart?
You know, I'm just finishing up the book of Matthew. I'm a little ahead of the Lent season and, if you will, all of the events that took place in the last week of Jesus's life. And it's the kind of thing that, as I reflect back on it, and I know I've read all of Matthew before in different times, different stages of my life, but one of the things that's been very, very helpful for me in my devotions is I use a commentary. And I recommend this to the listeners. That's John Corson's, and the C-O-U-R-S-O-N, his Bible commentary. And it highlights so many different things that allows me to look, if you will, maybe behind the scenes or perhaps get a little bit of what's going on. And the reason I highlight that is that, you know, we all are very aware of Christ's crucifixion and everything that went on. But two lives that, as I've gone through studying the last few days, they were really touched. One of them was Pontius Pilate. And we know him as the governor, if you will, who, you know, went ahead and authorized the execution of Jesus Christ. And let me highlight this by saying that one question that every listener, everyone has in their life that they have to answer: who is Jesus Christ? And so Pilate didn't answer that well. He allowed the crucifixion to go forward, even after his wife had said, "This man is innocent. You need to release him." Pilate's life was that he resigned as an authority, a governor, and went off someplace. I think it was in Europe and committed suicide. So that did not end well. However, his wife, who was the daughter of the current Caesar, who sent the message about the dream, history records her as becoming a Jewess and then eventually accepting Christ into her life. So that's particularly stood out to me as we go through this process of Lent and things that are important. And I just realized for all of us that we've all read the story of the last week of Christ's life. It's good to review it again because there are things you'll see now that perhaps before you skipped over. So that's where I am right now.
I appreciate that, Jim. It really is the central question for all of us. It will be the question that will determine where we spend eternity. Who is Jesus Christ? Especially as we lead up to Easter, to Resurrection Sunday. I think it's a great place to start the broadcast. Jim, we're going to go to a break here. On the other side of the break, we're going to start to get into your running story a little bit, and we're going to start from a little bit of an unexpected place, maybe your early struggles with athletics. We'll start that after the break. But folks, as I introduced Jim, I got a little bit excited to get him on the air, and I forgot to mention we are giving away a handful of copies of Jim's book called The Courage to Run. It's a 60-day devotional full of pictures from his career, stories from his career, and then lessons about his faith in Jesus Christ. So if you want to get in on the drawing for one of the copies of those books, I want you to text the word book to 877-933-2484. Again, it's book to 877-933-2484. Hopefully you'll pick up one of those copies. And we will be back after this break on Susie Larson Live. I'm Than Bennett. My guest is Jim Ryan. And we'll be back with more after this.
Listen to Faith Radio Live or on demand no matter where you go. You can download the free Faith Radio app in your app store today. Who I am in the eyes of the Father. Who I am is love set free.
Who I was, I left at the altar. I am yours. Lord. Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. I'm Than Bennett sitting in for Susie today, having a good conversation with Jim Ryan. And I was thinking before having Jim on the show today, there are so many titles that you can use for Jim. He's an Olympian. He's a world record holder. He was in the United States Congress for a decade, so you can call him the Honorable. But the two titles that I appreciate the most for him is he's my friend, he's my mentor, and I'm very grateful that he's joined us for the full hour today to share his testimony and his running career and his walk with Jesus Christ. And I want to jump right back into that story. We are, by the way, giving away a handful of copies of Jim's great 60-day devotional. It's called The Courage to Run, and you can get your name entered in the drawing to win one of those copies by texting the word book to 877-933-2484. And Jim, we're going to spend a good amount of time now walking through your incredible story and hearing about how God has worked through it at each stage of your life. And I think I personally probably will have heard most of these stories before. It may have been some time before I have, but I can't wait for Susie's listeners to hear them. And just to sort of set it up, I actually want to go all the way back to the beginning, to your childhood, because I think probably most people that would think about what you ultimately ended up doing, they think about a world-class athlete. They probably assume that you would have been a natural at sports, right? That they would have come very easy. Now, I know that wasn't the case for you. And so we're going to get in just a moment to how you discovered your specific ability to run. But first, could you talk a little bit about your childhood and share especially a little bit about your early sports experience? Because you were not always a gifted athlete, correct?
Oh, absolutely. And then one thing I would like to mention too is actually, in my grade school days, I experienced a very severe case of the measles. And as a result of that, I lost half of my hearing. And that impacted my athletic life and impacted my life in general for years and years and years until a hearing system, which I wear now, Lyric, is very positive. It helps a great deal. But in those early days, it made me shy and it made me reserved, because when you hear a question and it's not the right question, you give the wrong answer, then it causes you to withdraw some. So those early days were rough because of the measles and because I wanted to be involved in sports, but did not have a lot of success. I tried out for the baseball team, and my experience went from the outfield to the infield to the bench, and I was cut from the team. It was the church baseball team, so there wasn't a great deal of future there. Junior high, I went out. I was tall for my age. In junior high, I was invited out for the basketball team by the gym teacher, who was the basketball coach. He saw me as tall and said, "Why don't you come out for the team?" So out I went, and I've practiced with the team quite a little bit. I had to admit that, you know, there are a lot of things I'd never done before, since I'd never practiced with the team basketball. And at the end of practice, the coach called me over and said, "I'd like to have a meeting with you in my office." And of course, God gave me a gift of a lot of imagination. So my thoughts were, wow, I've been discovered. I'm going to be a famous NBA basketball player. I'll make a lot of money. I went into his office, and in those old offices in your swivel wooden chair, he spun around and looked at me, and he said, he asked a question. He said, "Did you notice the difference between the way you play basketball and the way the other boys play?" And I said, "Yeah, coach, I haven't had a lot of practice with other guys. I mean, my dad put a goal up over the garage. I practiced, you know, a lot of free throws and shots. I even worked on the last minute layup that would win the basketball game." And he listened. And finally, he said, "You know, I don't see a lot of potential here. Why don't you take a shower and bring your singlet, which I'd practiced in, and hang it on the door, and I'll just see you back in the gym class." In other words, he was cutting me from the team after the first practice. So it was not a great start, but that's how it all began. It wasn't like all of a sudden there was something really special. In fact, the junior high track team wasn't any better. I couldn't make the team there when I was in junior high, which in those days it was 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. So nothing that would point to what eventually would happen.
Not a great start to the athletic career. And, you know, folks, Jim and I have shared the softball field together many a times, and maybe just sort of consistent with the story he just told. I have certainly had a concussion on the softball field, and I'm pretty sure Jim has as well in a game that I played with him. We won't get into that story now, but we've had our fair share of mishaps on the athletic field. But Jim, as we talk today, we sort of know the end of the athletic story. We know that you became a world-class runner, but I want to talk about how you discovered your ability to run specifically. So let's go to 1962. It's your sophomore year in high school, and you decide that you're going to go out for the cross-country team. Describe for us what made you decide to do that, and then how that played out.
Well, let me lay one more story in there, Than, because those days of failure, which mean if your listeners or young people are listening, you're not a failure. You have failed at something, but you're not a failure. But I was struggling with what to do, and I would go to bed at night. I was church, but I didn't know what it was to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. But I'd go to bed at night, and I'd complain a little bit to God. I'd put my head on the pillow, and I'd say, "Dear God, as we all do at some point, I want my life to amount to something. And right now, I was measuring my life, existence, and success upon my experience in sports, which were miserable at that point. And I said, my life is not going well. So I would appreciate it if you could show up and help me out. And by the way, if you could do it in sports, I'd really appreciate that. And then in my young and mature day, I'd blow a kiss to God and I'd go to sleep. And so when I went out for the cross-country team as a sophomore in high school, I had no idea what it was. The furthest I'd ever run before that was one lap on the track, 440 yards. And now I'm in my first cross-country practice. We're running up to a little park, Wichita, Kansas. East High School was my school. And I asked one of the guys, because I started to get a little tired. I said, "How far is it?" He said, "It's about a mile up there." And I thought, wow, I've never run further than a quarter of a mile. That's four times further than I'd ever run before. But the Lord used that as a beginning starting point, if you will, for my experience in running. And that's how it all began.
Unbelievable. So let's talk about sort of that first year of running, Jim, because you really did make unbelievable progress. And, you know, I look back, I kind of refreshed myself on the timeline this week. And, the idea that you would go from never having run in 1962 to less than 5 years later being the Sports Illustrated Sportsman of the Year, it's just absolutely astonishing. But so much of that progress was made early on. It was made in that first year of running. And I know that one of the catalysts for that progress was your coach. And specifically, it was a conversation you had on the bus with him that year. So can you describe some of that progress that you made? And then also maybe specifically tell us about that conversation you had with Coach Timmons.
Well, Coach Timmons was a very strong believer in setting goals. And I will offer this in our running camps. We often tell our young runners, if you have a dream, it can become a goal, but you've got to write it down and start trying to figure out where you're going and ask God for that wisdom to go forward. And that's really what Coach Timmons was in my life. You know, he put together, if you will, a plan that began with a goal. What's your first goal? Well, my first goal was to make an athletic team. I'd never made one before. And once I made the athletic team, my second goal was to win a letter jacket, which I thought would bring a girlfriend. But, you know, that didn't happen. I got real wrapped up in running. And that conversation was elaborated on that bus trip way back in the spring of 1962, when Coach Timmons presented to me after my, I think I'd run a 421 mile. He said, you know, I think you can become the first high school boy to run under 4 minutes. Now, at that time in 1962, it was a mere 8 years before that Dr. Roger Bannister was the first man to do what some thought would never happen, and that is run a mile under 4 minutes. So you can imagine my sophomore mind kind of turning this over. Wow, I couldn't understand how that was possible, because I was basing it on my experience that day. I had run hard. I had won. I'd run a 421 mile, but my lungs hurt, my legs hurt, everything hurt. And now here was this wonderfully creative man who eventually became a believer, who's saying, you know, you can do what no one has ever done before and run under 4 minutes in high school. And I have to tell you, Than, I went back to the back of the bus and sat there and thought, wow, how is that possible? But he was going to take a dream, if you will, a goal, and turn it into reality with hard work and direction. And eventually I did become the first high school boy to run under 4 minutes in a much faster fashion than we all assumed. We thought it might happen by the time I was a senior. It happened when I was a junior in high school.
Unbelievable. We've only got a couple minutes before the break, Jim, but I'm wondering if you could maybe quickly tell us that story about the Compton relays. I mean, I think you went from 5:38 in that first year down to 4:08 and then ultimately breaking the 4 minute mile, but in about maybe a minute before the break. Can you just set up part of what happened as you did break that barrier?
It was Coach Timmons' goal to begin with. In other words, he gave me the goal of 4 minutes. On that night when I ran under 4 minutes, I couldn't sleep. I would awaken at different times. I was trying to sleep. And I thought, what would happen if I made this my goal? In other words, certain things as an athlete you can do to improve yourself. And so that became the change in my life where I took ownership. Ownership helped me lead to eventually the 351 mile that you referred to earlier. But, you know, it was a dream and it became a reality. And then it was a matter of accepting more responsibility.
Unbelievable. After the break, we're going to pick up the story where we're at. Jim became the first high schooler to run under 4 minutes. Then he went to 3 Olympics, became a silver medalist. We're going to talk to him about some of those experiences. We're also going to talk about his faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to talk about his running camps that he's been running for decades now alongside his wife, Anne. You can find more about those camps at ryanrunning.com. It's ryunrunning.com. We're also giving away copies of his book, The Courage to Run. You can enter to win one of those books by texting the word book to 877-933-2484. And we will be back with more on Susie Larson Live with the legendary Jim Ryan. I'm Than Bennett, and we'll be back with more right after this. God is in this story. I'm Than Bennett. God is certainly in the story that we're hearing about today. My guest is Jim Ryan, Olympian, world record holder, and former U.S. Congressman. Jim, I want to jump right back into your story. I've got a few more questions about your running career I want to get to, but then I want to make sure we have time to talk about your running camps, your time in Congress, and a little bit more of your faith story. But before the break, you were telling us how you became the first high schooler ever to run under 4 minutes for the mile. So you are on top of the running world at this point already as a high schooler. And I want to ask you about one more thing before we talk about your post-high school career, which was maybe even more legendary. And that was making your first Olympic team in 1964. Those games were in Tokyo. And I've heard you say this, and I still find it very hard to believe, but you knew next to nothing about the Olympics when you made that first team. Is that right?
That's true, Dan, but let me do one thing. I'm going to give a shout out to Jude, Brill, and Hope. Those are your three children. You know, we have the privilege of spending time with them on occasions, and it's such a pleasure. In fact, when we're with you and Brooke, we enjoy visiting with you, but Jude, Brill and Hope are where we like to spend the time. And so in answer to your question, in answer to your question, when I made my first Olympic team in 1964, September of 1964, you know, I crossed the finish line, I was in third. I had no idea what that was other than I was on my first Olympic team. And so as I began to unravel or to, I guess, understand more about what was going on, I went to the Tokyo Olympics and I discovered that they had them every 4 years. I mean, when you're a runner or when you're a person growing up not exposed to athletics or running or the Olympic movement, that was a real shock. I mean, I went to Tokyo thinking, wow, maybe I can come back in 4 years and try again. It was such an experience. I felt like every day, for lack of a better way to describe it, I was in Disneyland. Everything was so, you know, unexpected and exciting, and at the same time challenging, because I was not prepared for what was coming. And I'm grateful for the good things that God put me through, even though I wasn't a Christian at that point.
You know, I chuckle every time I hear that, Jim. You might have been the first athlete in history to go to the Olympics without realizing that they were something that occurred every 4 years, and that with someone of your stature, you were going to have an opportunity to go again. So I love that part of the story. Let's talk now about the period of time between your high school graduation in 1965 leading up to the next Olympics in 1968. This is an intense stretch. It's a stretch where you set multiple world records. Some of them stood for a very long time. We mentioned this before, but you were on Sports Illustrated cover repeatedly. You were the Sportsman of the Year. Ultimately, this stretch culminates with your silver medal in the 1968 Olympics in Mexico City. That was a race run at altitude. Maybe you can talk a little bit about that. But just walk us through those 4 years, if you would. That must have been a crazy, unbelievable, and I would think probably a pretty stressful stretch for you as well, especially since you're not a believer at this point. So describe those years for us, if you would.
It was everything you described then. And I want to go back to that simple prayer that I prayed in junior high. Dear God, if you've got a plan for my life, please show up. And if you could do it in sports, you know, he did. Now, I say that for your listeners' benefit, that you know, when you ask in prayer for things, you never know when God, how he's going to answer them. In fact, I still marvel at the fact that just as you describe all of this happening, world records in a half mile, 800 meters, 1500 meters, a mile, American record in the 2 miles, many other things, records and relays. But it was all because God gave me a talent and a platform that I now realize is a wonderful opportunity to share Christ with others. At the time that it was all happening, though, it was very stressful because, you know, you're attempting to go to school and be a good student. In those days, you had to be that to stay eligible on your athletic scholarship. In fact, it got to be so hectic during the time I was running well that meet directors who were going from New York to Los Angeles would stop in Lawrence, Kansas, just to see if maybe I'd be interested in running in their meet. Or in our dorm, I'd get calls from around the world, and the guys at the desk would transfer those phone calls up to the floor I was on. To the extent that it was difficult to study, I would just simply tell my roommate, I'm going over on campus to study. I'll be back in a couple hours. I had to do that to get away from the intense interest there was. But that's kind of where it was, just a lot of things coming my direction for which I was ill-prepared. At the same time, I'm grateful because God used each one of those in my life to help me understand that, you know, God is in the storm. He's in the story. So walk it out and just see where he'll take you.
And Jim, what about that silver medal at the 68 Olympics? I assumed, at least athletically speaking, that had to probably be one of the highlights. Is that fair to say?
It is fair to say. And yet it was also one in which I was very soundly criticized because I was the world record holder in all those events before I went to Mexico City. I came back to what would in essence be my hometown newspaper, although I grew up in Wichita. It was the Topeka paper. And the headline was, Ryan only wins a silver medal. And I thought, wow, you know, I was honored by that, knowing that altitude was 7,200 feet, sea level, people don't do well at that altitude. In fact, if you look at the Olympics in 1968, everything from 1,500 meters, my race on, was won by an altitude athlete. But that was another point in there, that puzzle part, if you will, that God has in each one of our lives that needed to be addressed. And it caused me to start searching, Ann and I both, although we were just dating at that time, searching for, is there more to life than just going to church or running fast? And that would ultimately lead to a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. So while it was challenging, I still have that silver medal. I'm very honored to have it. It was a moment of soul searching that would eventually cause us to realize that we needed to bend the knee and open our hearts and invite Jesus Christ into our lives.
You know, Jim, I think it just goes to show that no matter what we accomplish on a temporal plane, it's never going to fully fill the void that exists inside each of us. I mean, most of us, certainly me, we're never going to attain a silver medal in the Olympics. But you did that, and then it did not fill the void, and you needed to fill that. I wanted to ask one more question before we really kind of take a hard turn, talk about your running camps and your faith, your time in Congress. But I wanted to ask about the 1972 Olympics. You made a third Olympic team, a tremendous accomplishment. Those games were in Munich, and you were, again, one of the favorites to win. But that race is probably one that people follow your career remember. There was a lot of controversy. You may not say this, I'm not sure. I think most of us who are fans of the sport would say that there was probably a foul that occurred and you probably should have been reinstated. But I wanted you to kind of just describe the 72 Olympic experience. Tell listeners what happened there, and then maybe say a word about the lessons that you took from it.
Well, I think one of the things that would help people understand this period of time is to go back in history, look on Facebook or Google or something, and realize that the Munich Olympics were, I think, the first terrorist attack in sports. So when the athletes came in, killed a number of Jewish athletes, and the Olympic Games were held anyway, but at the same time, they left a lot of tension to the extent that we all kept wondering, are we the next ones in line for what might happen? So for me, for Ann and for me, May 18th of that year, we had just become Christians. And it became the strength in that whole experience because, just as you said, I was fouled by a runner behind me. It was very unfortunate. He caught my trail leg as I was running, and down I fell. I approached the officials where they ended up saying, you know, hey, why don't you come back in 4 years and try again? And that was really the opportunity for both of us to trust the Lord for an adventure we were not prepared for. And one of the experiences out of that that came from that was the process of forgiveness. Forgiving the official who could have reinstated me, in fact, met with me the day after the fall and said, why don't you come back in 4 years and try again? And for your listeners, let me say this. As a young Christian, I wanted to reach out. He had a tie on. I wanted to reach out, grab his tie, and with my other hand, hit him a few times, let him feel some of the pain that I was experiencing at that point. But it didn't happen. And so I learned the process of forgiveness. It's one of those things that happens many times. In this case, many times as the years go along and somebody reminds me of all of that. And also in that forgiveness process, forgiving yourself. If you go back to the experience where Peter was talking to Jesus about forgiveness, he thought he was being very spiritual. And when he said, you know, do I forgive somebody seven times? And Jesus had, you know, raised that number to seven times 70 or 490 times with the understanding that forgiveness should be automatic. We have been forgiven all of our sins and transgressions. And so, you know, it's really an opportunity to give back when we recognize that we are not only forgiven, but we forgive others. And it really is a healing in our lives. And that was what I didn't want to happen in Munich, for that to be where our lives would end. But by forgiving and moving forward, we've moved into a new adventure in life.
Really unbelievable perspective. I mean, I think you've been able to grant more forgiveness than many of your fans over what happened in 1972. But Jim writes about this experience actually on day 21 of his 60-day devotional called The Courage to Run. I really want to encourage you to pick up a copy of that. You can also enter to try to win one of the copies we're giving away today. You can text the word book to 877 877- 833-243-2484. Again, it's called The Courage to Run. Jim wrote it along with his sons, Ned and Drew. I highly recommend you picking up a copy. Jim, I want to change topics a little bit as we come near the end of this segment. Your running career, which I'm very grateful that you've walked us through, it's legendary. It is really unparalleled in many ways. But I know that you would be the first to say, and I know it because I've heard you say it, that the value of that career pales in comparison to the value of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And you've alluded to this a little bit, but I want you to speak a little bit more to how you and your wife, Ann, did come to a faith in Jesus and how it has really transformed the way you both approach everything in life. So tell our listeners how that came to be.
Well, for us, it would be addressed from the standpoints of the storms in life, I guess. It's when you're the world record holder, there's a pretty unforgiving media and public in general that thinks that you always run fast, you can never lose a race. But those were moments in 1972 where I was kind of on a roller coaster experience, running well and then running poorly. And I heard from a number of people and a lot of the media that perhaps I was past my prime. And that was a period of time, again, where Ann and I are searching. And we went to church, a number of different churches, trying to find what we thought would be the answer at church. Finally, we listened to an older couple who lived in Lawrence, Kansas. I thank the Lord for Bernie and Clara. And they shared with us what it was to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And that comes about by just at some point in your life, inviting Jesus to come into your life and let him become the Lord of your life. In fact, one of the things I want to challenge your listeners to is everybody has a platform. And while mine is sports and our family, everything else, you have an opportunity to speak into everyone's life. And so if you were to get an autograph from me before I was a Christian, it would just be Jim Ryan. And now I sign my autographs, Go of God, Jim Ryan, John 3:3-8, which is the story of Nicodemus going to Jesus at night. And he's challenged by Jesus that Nicodemus, what he needs is a born again experience. If people, you know, I mean, your listeners can do the same thing. They have a platform and an audience that's unique to them. And I want to encourage them to look for ways to be able to reach out, because there's a world out there that wants to know what makes you different and also that gives them hope for the future.
Amen. And I would just echo Jim's statement in two ways. If you are looking to use your platform to share the good news of Jesus Christ, it really is a simple message. It starts from sharing what he has done in your own life. And those who are interested just have to acknowledge that they're a sinner, put their faith in Jesus Christ, and then confess with their mouth, make a public profession that Jesus would be Lord. And the second group I would like to speak to are those who've maybe heard Jim's words today, and you want to put your faith in Jesus Christ for the first time. Those same three steps, just acknowledging you're a sinner, putting your belief in Jesus Christ, and then confessing with your mouth, that makes you a part of God's family. And if you've made that decision today, I want to encourage you to do something. I want you to text the word faith to 41224. Again, faith to 41224. That will enable us here at Faith Radio to put some resources in your hand, have a conversation with you about what it means to take next steps with Jesus Christ. Like Jim's been sharing, he has accomplishments that I will never dream of. But folks, the foundation of his life, the reason his life is of value to those around him, is not so much the running. It's his faith in Jesus Christ. So again, if you put your faith in Jesus Christ today, text faith to 41224. It really will change your life. We got to go to a break. We got one more segment with Jim Ryan after this break. We're going to talk about the Ryan Running Camps. You can get a sneak peek if you go to ryanrunning.com. Again, ryunrunning.com. There's also going to be a link in the show notes if you want to check that out after the broadcast. But I'm Than Bennett, sitting in for Susie today, and we'll be back with more with Jim Ryan right after this.
Faith Radio podcasts are produced by the listener-supported ministry of Faith Radio. If you're interested in becoming a team member, a donor to this ministry, you can support the podcast anytime and donate at myfaithradio.com. You take good care of me.
You know what I need before I even... Welcome back to Susie Larson Live. Than Bennett sitting in for Susie today. So honored to have my friend, mentor, Olympian, world record holder Jim Ryan as my guest for the hour. The hour's flown by. There's so much more I want to ask Jim. But Jim, we kind of got cut short a little bit on the last break. I know you wanted to say something more about that day, May 18th, 1972, I believe it was, when you began a relationship with Jesus Christ. But say more, if you would, about that date.
For me, and it's different for everyone, it was a beginning point in a relationship in this fashion, because you see, my life at that point had been measured in tenths of a second. When I ran well, people loved me. When I didn't, you know, they would send the most unusual comments about it. But on that night, it wasn't like the lights in the room flashed on and off, but rather there was this peace that came into my life when I prayed the sinner's prayer and invited Jesus Christ to come into my life. Because it was as if the Lord said to me, I love you because I love you, not because of what you've accomplished. See, my life was measured on accomplishments at that point. And so I say this to those that are listening, you know, you should have a moment in time someplace where you can actually put a marker down and say, at this point in time is when I accepted Jesus Christ into my life. And for us, that moment started changing everything that we would do and see. And that would be the impetus, if you will, for looking ahead to the Ryan running camps. We decided that in every way we wanted our life in some way to reflect what Jesus had done. And so that began the process well over 40 years ago, the Jim Ryan running camps. We advertised, you know, come run with Jim Ryan in a Christian atmosphere. We've had thousands of athletes go through. And it's because we want them to see that athletics is a great teaching platform, but it's more important that you have a living, vibrant relationship with Jesus Christ, the Son of God.
I love you because I love you. I think that is so important. A lot of times we put a different phrase behind that because, right? I love you because, like you said, your accomplishments, or because I do good works. But no, Jesus loves us because he loves us. He loves us because his Father formed us. And that's such an important thing to have as the foundation of our life. Let me ask you a follow-up, Jim, about your running camps. I've never been to one of them because, quite honestly, I was never a serious enough runner. But my dad went a few times, and it had a significant impact on him. And so could you give folks just kind of a glimpse of a day at camp? How do you do both of those goals you talked about? How do you invest in the athletes on the track, and then, you know, for their race of life, their walk with Jesus Christ? How do you merge those two things at these camps?
We surround them with ideas and prayers and staff that have been previous campers before they became counselors. And so that if there's a question that comes up as a result of something in a lecture or in one of the teachings, we have this wonderful man, Matt Mayer, who comes in from Ocean City, New Jersey, and the kids absolutely love him. I used to be rated the number one speaker in camp. I'm no longer there. He is. I'm grateful for that, because he shares with them, you know, what it is to know the Lord. He does it in a chapel session. But then I think the thing that makes it speak so loudly is that we're giving them a lifestyle. You know, it's one thing to run fast, but it's another to be able to use those principles in the life that lies ahead for them. And so we present a lifestyle to them that you pray over everything, your meals, your workouts. Workouts are more than just running on the track or running on the roads. It's how you think. It's how you process everything. And so our staff are all wonderful, born-again Christians who've given their lives at some point to Christ. And they find that when they're in this camp, their lives have been transformed. So they set aside this week every year to come to camp. And we actually sell out early because we keep this camp small at 100. We're in the process of expanding it next year, I think, to two camps, because we want that lifestyle to be what we offer them that'll last them a lifetime, not just a one-week experience in camp.
And I just know from my dad having attended, one of the things that he constantly appreciated was just the fact, like you said, that personal relationship, the back and forth to exchange experiences with the counselors. I know your wife, Ann, is very present, constantly available. They're able to interact with you in a way where they can draw from your experiences, draw from your success, but then also learn from your struggles, learn from the things that you think both in running and in life, maybe you had done a little bit differently. So if you're an athlete out there, if you're a runner out there, especially a young runner, I really do encourage you to check out the Jim Ryan Running Camps, ryunrunning.com, ryunrunning.com. Jim, we've got about 5 minutes left. And, you know, if this was the end of your story, so to speak, it would already be truly an epic one. But, you know, as if all of that wasn't enough, you also served for a decade in the United States Congress. And that was really where my life collided with yours. I worked for you for the last six of those years. It was one of the highlights of my professional career. But I actually wanted to ask you about getting into the race for Congress, because I know at one point in your life, you told Ann that you would never run for public office. And I guess, you know, you got to be careful what you say, but what changed? What made you decide to run for Congress? And what was that experience like for you?
Well, first of all, let me just one follow-up to the camps. Anybody 12 and up is welcome to go to our website and, you know, register for camp. We have scholarships. Some of those are still available. But let me just say this, what changed in those years when I said, no, I would never run for public office, or no, I would never coach. And here I am, we're coaching camp, and God gave us a wonderful 10 years serving in Congress, is because as we both matured in Christ, particularly me in that area, I realized that that could be a platform that God wanted us to exercise. And so in 1996, after a lot of prayer, we'd actually helped in other campaigns, but there was nothing quite like running for Congress yourself. So we put our name on the ballot, and for the next five months, actually, it was a brutal contest, standing up for righteousness and truth and, you know, doing the right thing when all the lies and accusations that come against you are pretty tough. But the change came about again because as you have that daily quiet time, you know, those moments when you pray and you read your Bible and you ask God for wisdom and direction, he began speaking to my heart as he speaks to everyone's heart who's open about changes in their life and things that, you know, you can go on this adventure with him. And that's how it all began, just because we were willing to, you know, let me just say this, anytime you tell God no for something, let me just say my experience is later on down the road, you're going to find out no means I'm coming your direction.
I've certainly found that to be true in my life. You would serve five terms, a full decade, 10 years in the United States Congress. And it was my great honor to serve with you the last six of those years. It seems like yesterday. It's been a little while now, Jim. But I wanted to ask you one more question before we come to the end of our time here. You talked earlier in the broadcast about praying to God and asking him to make your life count for something. What would you say to the young person who is right now listening to you praying a similar prayer, not sure what their life is supposed to amount to? How can that young man or young woman use the skills that they've been given for the glory of God? What advice would you give them?
Well, again, pray that prayer in faith with an expectation that something's going to happen, but with the faith that, you know, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, not knowing exactly what that means. What will help you, I believe, is keeping a journal. So that day you pray that prayer, just make notes as the days and the months and the years go along as to how God may be speaking to you through circumstances, through individuals, through his word. But when you pray that prayer, pray it with expectation and knowing that, you know, he's got your best interest in mind, and that may require some changes in your life. In my life, that was true, and I don't think there's a single one whose life wasn't transformed. Let me do this for a minute, then. Think of the Peter in the New Testament. He was a rough fisherman whose language and life, and even after he experienced walking with the Lord, denied him when Jesus was being crucified. And yet God turned him around to become the great evangelist and leader that he eventually became. So his paradigm was, if faith, if you will, and trust was changed enormously. And I would say that to any young listeners here, pray the prayer of faith and ask God for direction. It may be that you're an Olympian. Maybe you're going to be doing some things like that on the radio. But don't limit what God can do, because he has great plans for your life.
Amen and amen, Jim. I'm grateful for that. We're just about out of time, and I just want to thank you for being with us today. I've been looking forward to this. I pray God will bless you and Ann for giving us some of your time today. Thank you. And from my kids, please tell Mimi Ryan hello from all of us, will you?
I will do that. Thank you so much, Stan, for all of this time and what you have done in your life and your family as well. God bless you. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jim. God bless you. I love it so much, friends. This is one of my favorite people on the planet, and I'm so glad you got to hear his story, hear his love and passion for Jesus Christ. He has played an outsized role in my life, but, you know, as you heard, even though he's achieved so much, his identity is not found in those achievements, as huge as they may be. His identity is found in his relationship with Jesus Christ, and yours can be too. And I'm just here to tell you, it's not just words for Jim. That is how he lives. And I'm so grateful that he pointed all of us back to Jesus today. I'm also grateful to you for joining us today. I hope you're going to leave encouraged. And I also hope you'll be right back here with us tomorrow on Suzy Larson Live. We will talk to you then.
Thanks for listening to Suzy Larson Live. Podcasts like mine are available because of your support. If it's important to you to hear things that encourage your faith, click the link in the show notes and give now.